Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me for these next few minutes as I continue a message I began yesterday, the affliction of Joseph. And those words may be a little unfamiliar, but they're taken from the book of Amos, chapter 6, where the prophet speaks to ancient Israel, and he says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." Affliction is a shattering, a breach, a destruction, a misfortune. And as I read this book, I saw great parallels regarding the condition of today's American church in many places, as well as the condition of our nation, America. And beloved, we're living in very serious times. God says, and we're going to be looking today at chapter 3, God called a man named Amos. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a priest. He was just a herdsman. He was a shepherd. And even that, I believe, is prophetically significant because today God is raising up individuals, members of His body, not the big names, not big name ministries, although thank God for fivefold ministries and those who are so in love and committed and fervent in preaching the way of the Lord. But God's desire is that His people, the body of Christ, be empowered, that only one is to receive glory, and that is our head, Jesus Christ, none other. He will not share His glory with any man. He's given us tremendous blessings. And in the final estate, remember when He prayed in as recorded in the Gospel of John, we will share His glory when He comes to set up His literal kingdom on this earth. But for now, God has called us as able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. And even though Amos certainly didn't belong to a recognized class of someone who was, quote, fit to deliver the word of the Lord, yet the love of God burned in his heart, and he, in spite of opposition, was willing to speak the truth to the people of his day. And our reflection should be, and our question placed to us is, are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to be a witness in our workplace, in our families, wherever we go? Because in the days in which we're living, if you are able to listen to the news broadcast, evil is getting utterly evil, and goodness is going to be even greater, perfected in the love of God, in the hearts of God's people. There is a dividing. There's no longer going to be a middle ground. There's no going to be gray areas or people straddling the fence. Choose this day whom you will serve. And beloved, it's a serious time. Eternal destinies are being decided. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And so God asks a question as we now read in chapter 3, verse 1, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel." And we can say children of the Lord today, his church that is comprised of the people of Israel as well as the Gentile nations, "against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, 'You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for your iniquities.'" Then he asks the question, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Think about that, beloved. In our own personal lives, are you truly walking with the Lord? Because you might say you are, you can say, well, I'm walking in agreement with so-and-so, but unless you really are on the same page, holding the same convictions, you cannot truly walk together. That's why Paul was very clear. He said, if you're a Christian, you cannot marry an unbeliever thinking you're going to save them. What fellowship has light with darkness? Will they get saved? Only God knows that. But the point is, pray for them to get saved, to have a real experience with Jesus, and then you can be in agreement so that you can walk together. So how can we walk with God? Well, first of all, there has to be an agreement as to the place of meeting. Isn't that true? You set a date with someone, you say, okay, at such and such a time, we'll meet wherever. Now, God has made an appointment with man. Every single soul that has ever breathed the breath of life has an appointment with God. As sinners, it's at the foot of the cross, and we accept him as our Savior, or it will be before his throne at the great white throne judgment, where he will be the judge. He is the judge. At that great white throne judgment, there will be the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. And he will say, either enter into the joy which I have prepared for you, enter into my Father's kingdom, or depart from me into hellfire. And that will be not on the basis of his lack of love or charity, because, you know, there are actual leaders in the church world. They're saying, everyone's going to go to heaven. God's a God of love. Well, that's not what Jesus said. He said, narrow is the way and straight is the way, and few there be that find it, but broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And so, beloved, let's not sugarcoat the message of salvation. It's very clear. A person will pay a price. A man's enemies could be those of his own household. But who do you love? If any man love father, mother, brother, sister, children more than Jesus? Jesus said, you're not worthy of me. He wants a passionate, intimate love relationship with his people. You shall have no other gods before me. That's what he told ancient Israel. And that's true in our lives. We need to tear down every idol, everything that preempts itself from the worship of the true and living God. So there's an agreement as to a place of meeting in order to walk together. There's agreement as to the goal or the direction, right? And what's the direction that God's people are headed in? Well, the glory of God and heaven, to be eternally with him. And then there's agreement as to pace. You have to walk together. If someone walks really fast and someone is not able to keep up, well, you're not walking together. We need to keep step with the Lord. We can't lag behind. We can't run ahead. If we hold on to his hand, we will stay by the Savior's side. Some of you are so weary and tired, and Jesus gave an invitation. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is the first thing we have to do? We have to come to him. And then he gives another instruction. He says, take my yoke upon ye and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. He's talking about being yoked. Yoked with who? With what? Well, with the Lord Jesus. Just as Jesus was so in sympathy, so in tune, so in step, so yoked, if you will, with his Father and his Father's will, there was an effortless flow of ministry. So it should be with us. But in many times, we're frustrated, we're exhausted, we're wearied, we're stressed, and God wants us to come to him and find that rest that our souls need. And it's very challenging in the days in which we are living. And then, beloved, there's agreement as to commitment. God has made his commitment. Will we? Remember, it says Enoch walked with God, and then God took him, and he was no more. He didn't taste death, just like Elijah. He went up in that fiery chariot. So, beloved, we have a decision to make. Are we going to walk with the Lord? We have to be in agreement with him. We have to agree with what he says, not our own version of theology, not just absentmindedly agreeing with whatever leader says that just because it sounds good, but we have to be guided by the Word of God. Hear what the Lord says in verse 7, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets." Hallelujah. Verse 10, "For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces." And then he speaks, "There is an adversary that shall even go round about the land." Hallelujah. "In that day," verse 14, "that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel." And in verse 15, "I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end." God, as I said, will not be mocked. He is going to bring judgment. Now we are living in a time where God is holding back the judgments of God. There are things happening in the earth such as we've never seen before. God is being merciful, trying to get man's attention so that we can return to him and walk with him. Praise God. Well, my time again has flown, and as I bring this broadcast to a close, because this is going to be the final week, I'm going to offer the little devotional booklet, devotional meditations of selected prophecies God has given over the years. And let me share one with you from that booklet. "Does not my word say of my beloved that I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her? Even so is my spirit moving to cause the fire of that first love that you first walked in to be kindled into a glowing, growing flame that many waters cannot quench. You are mine, and I am jealous for you with a jealous love. You will see me open a door of hope in the Spirit to you as you fellowship with me, and you shall know that the desires of your heart shall be granted as you delight yourself in me. You cannot experience the fullness of my love for you in your mortal body, for it would overwhelm you. Therefore, little by little, by a glimpse here and there, will you know and understand my desire towards you, for you to prosper in every area of your life. Rejoice and rest in me, for I shall restore to you the joy of your salvation, says the Lord." Praise God for your word, Lord. Well, the announcer will give our contact information. I invite you to write, share your prayer requests, request that little devotional booklet, and just know that I love you and pray for you every day. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.